Welcome back, everybody. Western countries imposed sanctions this week on Russia as President Biden said Moscow had begun its invasion of Ukraine. The measures are expected to have a limited impact on Russia's economy, but the U.S. and its allies say they send a strong signal. Joining me now is Christine McDaniel, former Deputy Assistant Secretary at the Treasury Department and former senior trade economist in the White House Council of Economic Advisors under President George W. Bush. She is currently Senior Research Fellow for the Maqueda Center at George Mason University. Christine, thanks so much for being here with us. The U.S. and its allies have never attempted before to cut a $1.5 trillion economy out of global commerce. So how much pressure can even unified Western sanctions have on Russia?
Well, what we've learned is that trade sanctions alone are not effective, right? We also need to cut off financial ties. And that's what we're seeing the Biden administration do in pretty close coordination with the EU. And what, they work best, these sanctions tend to work better when they're targeted and strong. But really targeted at individuals and particular entities, agencies, organizations, anybody that is involved in facilitating or enabling the movement of goods, services, and capital in service to, in this case, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And so that's what we're seeing now. But it does need to be targeted, and it really does need to be coordinated because capital moves across borders so easily, and then with illicit laundering techniques getting more and more advanced, countries really need to stay on top of the intelligence and communicate with each other.
So I just want to run through quickly, we had it up there on the graphic, what the sanctions are at the moment. They include denying Russia the ability to borrow money in Western markets and to block financial transactions by two banks. So there's some specificity, right? And the families of three wealthy Russian elites. Is this what you're talking about in terms of getting specific, and does it go far enough? Because we know President Biden said that steeper penalties would follow if Russia continues its aggression. I'm wondering what that might look like.
Right. Well, it is a first tranche, as the U.S. has said, and the EU has said it, the EU has said it as well. It's just the first step. So it does appear that the U.S. and the EU are ready to take further steps if Putin continues to escalate, and further steps might include adding names to that list. The world is well aware of, a list of at least three dozen particular oligarchs and their families. This is a pretty good start. I mean, think of it, you have the central, Russia's Ministry of Finance, their sovereign wealth fund, and their central bank. And so that alone is hurting their ability to raise money from the West. It's definitely cutting off their ability for Western financing, and makes it difficult for them to trade on any new debt. But there's a lot they have in reserve, right? So you think not only just military aid to Ukraine, but there's a lot, many more large state-owned Russian entities. Nord Stream 2 is always there. More sanctions, bigger sanctions on Russian, stronger sanctions on Russian banks, making it harder, again, for Russia to float their own debt. And we haven't seen, I don't think I've ever seen be used, is cutting them out of the SWIFT system. So that would, basically disallow them to engage in really any dollar-denominated transactions around the world. So there's still a lot left that the U.S. and the EU could do.
Now, Biden said that he would take, in his words, robust action to make sure that the pain of our sanctions is targeted at the Russian economy, not ours. But I'm wondering how much easier said than done that is. I mean, Russia is among the world's top exporters of oil and precious metals like copper, aluminum, palladium.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the whole idea behind targeted sanctions is to maximize the penalties on those particular individuals involved and minimize any adverse effects on Russian citizens and, of course, citizens across the U.S. and the EU as well. Some of your listeners might remember back in 1980 when there was that U.S. embargo Russia on grain, right, after the 79 Afghanistan invasion. And so it was then President Carter that did the grain embargo, only to find that it was ineffective. Russia was able to get grain from other sources, but it did really hurt the U.S. farmers. And so, you know, over the years, we've seen, you know, new designs to try to maximize penalties on particular individuals involved and minimize adverse effects on, you know, broader populations. And that's what they're trying to do here.
You mentioned the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. I know Germany has put a hold on that for the moment. It's crucial to Russia's plans to increase energy sales to Europe. Does freezing that project hurt Russia more than any of those sanctions combined, do you think?
That's a good question. I mean, just looking at the numbers, it's undoubtedly a yes answer to that. The Nord Stream 2 offers Putin a very large source of revenue and a legitimate source of revenue. And, the legitimate characteristic being, I think, really key there. So, because it hasn't even gotten online yet, it's not like Russia, it's Russia losing an important revenue source, but Europe, you know, hasn't even benefited from it yet. So it's not like I would be cutting them off from anything yet, at least. And Europe has been able to benefit a bit from Asia, that have sent over extra energy that they had in surplus. So, if this continues on and on, then it will probably hurt Europe a bit. But it's right now, it looks like it would hurt Putin more, given that, again, you know, it's cutting off a very large source of legitimate revenue.
All right. Christine McDaniel, Senior Research Fellow with the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Thanks for your insights today. Appreciate it.